Hitler if you think we're on the run.
And welcome to another edition of the Dad's Army Podcast. Thanks once again for joining us. This podcast is a rather special podcast. We are moving away from the usual format once again, this time to bring you coverage of the 40th anniversary celebrations held at the Imperial War Museum on the 9th of July 2008. The event was organised by the Dad's Army Appreciation Society and saw the biggest coming together of the surviving cast and crew that I've ever seen in one place. It was a fantastic day. We were even joined by Dame Vera Lynn, who, as you know, I'm sure, is the Force's sweetheart, and she's doing fantastically at 91 years old. I managed to get an interview with her about her affection for Dad's Army, and that's coming up quite soon, along with speeches and interviews with Clive Dunn, Ian Lavender, Frank Williams, Bill Pertwee, and I really hope you enjoy the next 20 minutes or so.
You're listening to the Dad's Army Podcast with your host, James.
The event itself was covered by national newspapers, several national newspapers actually. There was also some TV crews down there recording interviews with the cast. Clive Dunn memorably asked by one particular reporter, "How are you going to celebrate the 40th anniversary?" And Clive, as quick as you like, replied, "To be alive at 5 o'clock today." And that set the tone, really, for the entire day. It was really fun. In between the addresses by the stars and the speeches by the cast and crew, there were some classic Dad's Army video clips played to the audience there. There was also some very rare footage provided by Rafe Montague, and you may remember Rafe. Rafe appeared on the podcast back, I think on number 15 or 16, something like that. Rafe was a key individual in putting together the DVD extras that you see on the Dad's Army DVDs, and in particular the Dad's Army Christmas special. Before we get stuck into the recordings we made that day, I need to issue a warning. Clive Dunn's speech was quite colourful, shall we say. I've decided not to edit it because I think it loses something if I take out some of his words, but do be warned, if you are offended by strong language, then it may be better to skip Clive's speech. All I need to do now is hand you over to the President of the Dad's Army Appreciation Society, Mr. Bill Pertwee.
It's lovely to see you all here. Thank you for coming. It's a real treat, this is, and we've been looking forward to it for quite some time.
40 years.
40 years, yes. But I can remember that very first rehearsal, which you should probably even all know about, is that the BBC weren't very keen on this show called Dad's Army, and so they didn't give us a proper rehearsal room. And we finished up at a room behind a pub underneath the Chiswick flyover, which was quite good for most of them because they only had 2 yards to walk to the bar. However, there we are. It's all great memories, and we've met you during those sort of 40 years, and we've been in touch with people. I've got still a box full of letters that I'm still ploughing through to try and answer, going back 2 or 3 years, but there is a reason that I was held up for a lot of them. I won't go into that, but I'd like to show you here a card that was sent by my son. He's very thoughtful. 40th birthday. And there you are. He got inside here, and I'll read the message. He sent this up last night from Cornwall, where he lives. There we are. That's the card. Not bad, is it? You know, for a chap who's not in this business at all, he says, "With much love and good wishes to all of you. Have a great celebration. Only sorry I can't be there. Jonathan and family." So I think that's I'm really, really pleased that he said that. And all I can say is, in the words of Winston Churchill, "Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few old fools in Warmington-on-Sea as Mannering's Home Guard." Well, there we are. Anyway, have a good day, and we look forward to seeing you off and on, as it were, during the daytime. Thank you.
Clive Dunn.
Me lords, ladies and gentlemen, It's not only a great honour to be asked to come to this memorial service. It's also highly inconvenient. Now, just to be serious for an hour or two, I used to do impersonation of Bill Pertwee, but I'm only here for 3 days. Where were we? Oh, yes. What was I going to say? Oh, no, something terribly important, and I can't remember what it is. What am I doing up here? Could somebody tell me? I'm up here for some reason. Oh, I remember, yes. I'd like to... David Croft here? Yeah. Yes. And Jimmy Perry? Yeah. Oh, God bless you. I'm glad you're here. I wanted to say, and I've said this before on various places and various soapboxes, but I'd like to say this to you. I'd like to congratulate you over all the years we've been together and done these shows. They've never said a rude word in the whole of the time that they've done these shows. That the thing has been perfectly clean and very, very nice and pure. And I must say, I think that's fucking marvellous.
I'm joined now by Ian Lavender, who's busy taking some time out, signing autographs for some fans. Ian, we're here now, 40 years after the first episode.
Thank you.
Why is Dad's Army still with us and so successful?
Well, first of all, because it was funny. No funnier than a lot of other programmes at the time, but kids don't have to bring any baggage to it when they watch it. Kids of all ages, seriously. Whereas, you know, you need to know what was going on in the northeast to watch The Likely Lads. You need to know what was going on in suburbia, I can't remember the name of the program. What was it called?
The Good Life.
The Good Life. Oh, heavens, you see. I'm sorry.
To see you play.
I'm into my third glass of red wine at lunchtime. It might explain an awful lot. But sure. I mean, you need to bring baggage to those programs.
No, of course.
And they were just as funny, if not funnier. But to dads, you don't need to bring any baggage because it's just a load of silly people being, on the face of it, being stupid.
Yes.
You don't really have to know anything about the war, even.
Absolutely.
The war almost becomes wallpaper at times. And the other thing is that sadly now everything, not just television programmes, everything is aimed at a specific demographic group, you know, between 22 and 27, 37 and 44, or old people. And I think this is very short-sighted because, I mean, it's not going to be many years, is it? It's only 5-10 years before over half the population is going to be over 50.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I'm well past that already. I mean, it does seem to be terribly short-sighted if you're going to base industries, manufacturing industries even, on selling to such small groups.
Absolutely.
And I don't see the point of not making a programme where everybody can watch.
We were just talking to Dame Vera Lynn, and she was saying that one of the unique things about Dad's Army is that it appeals across the ages. She's seen people 5-6 years old who are just as into the programme as
there is, the original. I see nothing intrinsically wrong in being able to sit Granny and the grandchild and everybody else down at the same time to watch a programme, whether it's Dad's Army or whatever. And one of the reasons why Dad's Army is so repeated, because it's one of the few you still can. That's in existence.
Sure.
I'm very pleased they do.
I'm sure.
Because, you know, it means I can buy a slightly nicer bottle of wine when there's been a repeat on.
As they've been repeating quite a lot recently, haven't they?
Yes, you know, and when Wimbledon, the weather, you know, and it gets in the way and they cancel a repeat of Dad's Army, it's most upsetting.
No, I know.
It is, because I've probably already spent the money.
Oh, well, Ian, thank you so much for spending just a few minutes talking to us. Cheers.
Thank you.
Geoffrey Holland.
Hello. For those of you sitting there thinking, what's he doing here? I was actually in the stage show at Dad's Army. Probably most of you know that. I was recruited into the what we called the Home Front chorus line and understudied Ian Lavender as Pike and John Barton as Private Walker. I actually got the opportunity to go on once as Private Pike for a matinee when Ian was not there, for reasons we won't go into. And I got all the words out in the right order, all the cues, I was very proud of that. I didn't get a single laugh all afternoon. Because I wasn't Ian Lavender. That's, you know, that's how it goes. I looked wrong. I was the stranger standing there in this uniform with a scarf around my neck. But Later on, when we moved from the Shaftesbury into the national tour, I was asked and greatly honoured to accept to play Private Walker, which I did with, and I can never remember the first night, never forget the first night when the curtain went up on the platoon, the great tableau of the platoon, and I was part of it. It was a 29-year-old boy standing there, part of Captain Mannering's platoon. You know, I've never felt so wonderful in all my life. But there was a story that happened when we were touring. My son was about to be born, and my first wife, Ellie, was going into labour, and I got a phone call. We were in Richmond, and we were doing a matinee on the afternoon, and I got a phone call just before the curtain call that she'd been taken into hospital and got into labour. And I knew, through obviously personal reasons, that there were problems, and I had to be there. So when the curtain came down, I just told the guys, I said, look, I'm off. Wife's having a baby, got to be there. Tell the company manager. I didn't even tell the company manager, I just legged it. I got on the train to Coventry, and I went to my wife's bedside. The silly thing was the baby wasn't born till 2:30 in the morning. I could have done the evening show, but I didn't know that at the time. And everything went fine. Fortunately, she was all right. And I got back to the theatre on the Friday to find there was a note waiting for me. Mr. Lowe would like to see you in his dressing room. Oh dear. So I went along to Arthur's room. Come in. And I walked into the room. I said, you wanted to see me, Arthur? Yes. He wouldn't look at me. He kept his eyes firmly down on the dressing table and said, it was very unprofessional. Very unprofessional indeed. You should have been here. Babies are born all the time. I did like to say, but not my babies, I'll put one on the side. So I humbly apologised for what I did. I admitted I'd been very unprofessional and I left the room. And, you know, the first flowers to arrive at my wife's bedside were from the Lowe's. Thank you. It's an honour to be part of this.
Frank Williams. Ladies and gentlemen, what an extraordinary and wonderful occasion this is. 40 years, my goodness me. I didn't actually get into the programme until the third series. But little did I think when I went in and I did just two or possibly three lines in The Armoured Might of Corporal Jones. And I thought that was just it. You know, they brought the vicar in, he'd say a few lines and he'd never be heard of again. Little did I think that it would lead to one of the happiest periods of my life. And certainly I didn't think that 40 years on, we'd still be celebrating it. But it was a wonderful programme. It was a wonderful cast to work with. And, I mean, I have to say, it was the happiest time of my life. I remember particularly the idyllic days we had up in Norfolk doing the location filming. I also remember with great affection the film, the radio series and the stage show. The stage show at the Shaftesbury Theatre and then the tour. And of course, when we were on the tour, we were doing the show in the evening but were free during the day and we really all got to know each other very well. And Bill Pertwee, Teddy Sinclair, myself, and Ronnie Grange, who's here today and who played a number of parts in the stage show, always used to get together and go out to wonderful places. So it was a magnificent and wonderful time, and I really am so grateful that I was part of it. I suppose really, one has to say a great big thank you to Tony and to Paul, who have done so much to keep the spirit of Dad's Army still alive, and we're still here. I'll tell you something, apart from Ian, I was the youngest member of the cast. Now look at me now, how can you believe that I was the youngest member of anything, but I was. But it was a wonderful time, and I suppose I just have to finish by saying a big, big thank you to Jimmy and David for A, thinking of it, and B, letting me be part of it. So thank you. And thanks to all of you.
I'm joined now by the legend, who is Dame Vera Lynn. Hello, Vera. Thanks ever so much for spending the time speaking to us.
You're welcome.
Can I first ask, how did you get into Dad's Army? Are you a particular fan of it?
Well, yes. I mean, I've always watched them on the box, and it's such a change, really, to see something performed by real artists, you know, from the theatre.
Sure.
And I think it's a great programme, and I've really enjoyed it.
It's lasted 40 years now. What do you think is the secret of the success of Dad's Army?
Well, it's got all sorts of aspects to it. It's nostalgia for certain people, like myself.
Sure.
But you've got great performers there, and a great script.
Mm.
And it's different than anything else that's on the television.
That's it. It's completely unique, almost. It
Absolutely, appeals. Yes.
It's got such a new audience, almost, with young
yes.
children.
Yes, I'm not surprised. Well, they're being taught about the Second World War now, you know, and for them to see a programme, although it's a comedy, you know, it interests them immensely.
Yes, indeed.
You know, it gives them a little insight in what it was like during that time.
Absolutely, because one thing about Dad's Army, it's always been rooted in reality, although
yes.
it's very clearly a comedy.
Yes. Yes.
And that's one of the things, perhaps, that really appeals. I think
it is. It appeals to people. You know, it's of interest to the young ones because they can get a little idea of what life was like in those days, although it's a comedy, you know, and of course for us older people, it brings back a lot of memories.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much indeed, Dame Vera Lynn, for spending the time talking to me.
You're welcome.
We're approaching what's more or less the end of the 40th anniversary special. Tony, what did you think of today?
At the moment, I'm on cloud nine. I've had a lovely afternoon. It was a strange sort of start to the afternoon, but once everyone was here, and I think perhaps a glass of wine, and seeing all of the actors, I definitely have had a glass of wine, haven't I? seeing all of the actors just sitting around, very relaxed atmosphere, and it's lovely to see them on this 40th anniversary. Highlight for me, I've met Clive Dunn at long last. I had a chat with him, spoke about a holiday in Portugal that I'd had because he lives there. Really great.
Mm. No, it is.
How about you?
Yeah, it's been really good. I've never seen so many of the stars together in one event before, and I think the highlight for me again was chatting to Ian Lavender. Again, very starstruck, and had to tell him afterwards that I was very amateur. But I think the whole event itself has been terrific, and the fact that so many people are here. And I've spoken to Vera Lynn. My mum will be so proud. You know, it's been a fantastic event, and I think the Appreciation Society have done it again and pulled off another really, really good event.
I don't know if Paul Carpenter will listen to this, but I want to say thank you to him for... or just all the work he's put in, and to Tony Pritchard as well. Just say thank you, really. Really enjoyed it.
That's about it for Podcast 25. Hope you enjoyed listening to our experiences of the 40th anniversary event. If you were there, or if you've spotted something in the press that you'd like us to read out, or you think may be interesting to other Dad's Army fans, then please drop us a line, james@dadsarmypodcast.com, along with any photographs that you may have spotted as well. That will be great, and I'll make certain they appear on our blog. Don't forget to check out the summary of the event that I have written. That's on the blog. That's www.dadsarmypodcast.blogspot.com. And whilst you're there, don't forget to cast your vote in the numerous polls that we've got running at the moment. We'll be back in a few weeks' time. Not entirely certain if it will be a fortnight as per usual this time. But when we do come back, you'll hear an interview Tony recorded with the Barmy Army at Bressingham Steam Museum. We'll also be talking about All Is Safely Gathered In. So if you have any thoughts or comments about that particular episode, then please drop us an email. We'll also be announcing the winner of our favourite episode competition that we started a few months ago now. We asked you to tell us what your favourite episode of all time is and the reasons why, and we entered all of those emails into a prize draw to win Frank Williams' autobiography, Season 1 and 2 on Region 2 DVD, along with a few other bits and pieces as well. So we'll be drawing that in Podcast 26. That really is it for this podcast. Take care and speak to you soon. That was episode 25 of the Dad's Army podcast with James and Tony. The Dad's Army podcast is free to download. The owners make absolutely no commercial gain whatsoever, and there's no infringements of any kind intended. Please get in touch with the show by emailing us at james@dadsarmypodcast.com.